Today we are going to be starting a new four-week series, and I'm going to be looking at the Old Testament prophet named Elisha. Everybody say Elisha. Good. The series is actually going to be called Incredible Faith, and though we'll be looking at Elisha's life. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. You go ahead and get there if you'd like. There's two prophets' names that you're going to hear this morning, and it's easy to get them confused. It is Elijah and Elisha. How many have ever gotten them confused? It's like, I think this one did that. Or it was one of them, you know. You know what I'm talking about. But mostly, we're going to be looking at Elisha, but let me come back to Elijah for just a moment. Elijah was one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, a very bold man, daring man, full of faith for the most part, but like all of us, he had his difficulties. There was a season where Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you, and he ran, this man of faith. But God kept working in his life. In our story this morning, though, we really want to focus on Elisha. You're going to find that Elisha wanted to be like Elijah. In fact, so much in his life, he said, I want a double portion of what Elijah has as an anointing upon his life. And it actually did come about as he studied under Elijah, but later God gave him a double portion of that anointing. In fact, the Bible records Elisha performed more recorded miracles in Scripture than anyone else except for Jesus. So he was used in a mighty way. What's interesting, though, about Elisha is this. He's just an ordinary man. He wasn't the son of a priest. He wasn't some monk who had put himself away. He wasn't some outward spiritual giant. He was just an ordinary guy who was living at home with his parents like our millennial generation. There's nothing new under the sun. No, actually, it was due to the culture of that day, and they would stay at home a lot more and work with the family. But Elisha was working with the family on the farm, and while he's working, God had a call upon his life to do something incredible. For those of you who like the historical context, the time period we're talking about is during the 9th century. That's about 840 B.C. It was a time when Israel was divided. In fact, people were worshiping the false god of Baal. And so that's why God would raise up these prophets to speak to them. And here God is going to raise up just an ordinary guy to do an extraordinary work. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verses 19 to 21. These are the verses we're looking at today. I'm going to read through them and then we're going to break them down verse by verse. 1 Kings chapter 19. Starting at verse 19. So Elijah went from there. If you want to know where he was, why don't you go and read the previous part of the chapter and you'll find out. But Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphath. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? Let me pause for just a moment and give some context and understanding. When the Bible is translated word for word, and which many of the translations do that, sometimes you can miss the feeling or the context of what's really being said. In fact, I'm not sure how you read this. Elijah replied, what have I done to you? You know, as how do you read it? I want you to kind of understand the context of what was really being said is I want you to think about what I've done. When he threw his cloak on him, I want you to think about this. Go back and think about it. Take note of what this really means. And that's the context of him saying, what have I done to you? I'm calling you. Verse 21, so Elisha left him, went back. He took his yoke of oxen, and I think this is crazy, and he slaughtered them. And listen to this. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the life it gives to us. But Lord, we want to be taught the principles of your word. Lord, we want to grow our faith today. Teach us to trust your call. And Lord, would you give us incredible faith, I pray, to do extraordinary things for your kingdom. Amen. Before I go to our message today, let me take a moment and kind of tell you where we're going in the series, because I really don't want you to miss a week. I want God to grow your faith, but I think you really need to be here and walk through all of these. Next week, we're going to look at a story where Elisha asked some people to dig some ditches in a valley, but he does so long before there was any sign of rain coming. We're going to look at the story because I believe that God will expand your faith to think big, but at the same time be willing to start small, even when you can't see his hand at work. The third week, we're going to look at a widow who was very desperate, and maybe you're one of those people, and you're asking, how am I going to make it? How am I going to get through life? The story of what God did for her, I believe, will build your faith. This poor widow is about to lose her two sons, and all she has to her name is a little jar of oil, and all she could see was what she didn't have. But the prophet Elisha shows up and was able to show her that she had everything she needed to do everything God wanted to do. The fourth message in this series is going to be kind of a crazy, unique miracle. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. But for those of you who were passionate about God at one time, you were on fire for God, you felt close to God, but you feel like you've lost your spiritual edge. You feel like I'm not really where I used to be or where I want to be. We're going to look at this miracle and we're going to symbolically apply it because I believe God wants you to get your spiritual edge back. What happened was there was an axe head that flew off and landed in the water. And they thought that axe head is gone. In fact, it was borrowed. But I'm telling you, God caused that axe head to float. And he can bring your spiritual edge back. You think it might be gone, but God can bring it back. Today I want to take you and talk about the commitment of faith, though. Talking about this prophet Elisha and his call. Let's go back to verse 19. 1 Kings 19, the very first part of 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. Now listen to this part. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. What we notice really in the passage is that Elisha is doing his work at the house and the farm, the same job he had probably been doing for a long time as a young boy. He probably grew up doing this, and now he's able to handle and plow 12 pair of oxen at the same time. Wow. That would be amazing if you just think about it. He's working on his parents' farms. He's driving the oxen. There is a book by Steve Furtick called Greater. He actually looks at the life of Elisha in that book. He brings out a thought that I probably would have never thought of, but he brings out the monotony of what it would have been like to plow behind the yoke of oxen every single day. So think about it. What do you smell? Probably oxen residue, right? What do you see? I mean, what's the scenery every day if you're plowing behind oxen? The rear end of oxen. That's right. Now, some of you might feel like your job is like that. You feel like, I'm just doing the same thing every day. And I see the same people day in, day out. Some of you are students, and all you think, all I do is study over and over. I do math problems over and over. I do English papers again and again. All I do is school. Moms in this place, what about you? What do you see all day long? Diapers, laundry, dishes, and then diapers, and laundry, and dishes, and so on. It's just the way life is. Think about where Elisha is. He is plowing and he's, but I want you to notice something. Elijah was being faithful with the task at hand. I believe with all my heart that God loves to reward people who are faithful with the little things. Day in and day out, I want you to be faithful. And when you're faithful with the little, God can trust you with much. Amen? Elisha, even though he's plowing the oxen, it might have not been his favorite thing to do, probably was draining on his body, but he was faithful to it. And in the middle of his faithful daily routine, God is about to do something new with his life. God's about to take him in a new direction, and it happens at the end of verse 19, where it says, Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elijah's cloak would have been an outer garment. It would have probably been a heavy cloth, could have been a coat of some type made of animal skin or fur, but it was Elijah's covering. And Elijah, what he did is he took his covering and he put it on Elisha. Symbolically, basically what he was saying, and he's, remember, think about it, what have I done to you? He's saying, that which covered me will now cover you. That which was a mantle on me is going to be a mantle on you. That which I was under, now you are going to be under. Basically, he's letting Elisha know that he's going to be a student of Elijah. Elijah is going to be the mentor of Elisha. And so Elijah puts this cloak, this mantle, this covering on Elisha. Nathan Maldonado, would you come here? Let me just kind of illustrate this for a moment. So Nathan, it would be like me coming up to you saying, hey, put on my coat. And by the way, I want you to take my Bible. And by the way, I believe God's calling you to something great. I want you to think about that. And I believe God's going to work through you like he's worked through me. What I've been under, I believe God's going to put on you, and you're going to carry it forward. So by the way, you've got the rest of the message. You ready? He says he's not ready. Well, let's find out. Elijah became Elijah's servant. One of the things I think we need to realize a little more often is you need to become Elijah's. Church, I'm telling you, we need to begin to speak into people's lives and have mentors under us. Because how are they going to ever know that there is a mantle for them? We're doing it with our youth. We're doing it with our children. And I've been doing it with our fine arts and helping our kids. My wife and others have been coaching and helping because I believe our kids, our youth, have a call of God in the future. And they're going to need every bit of wisdom and faith that you ever had to move through these days. Amen? Amen. I'll take it back for now. Thank you, Nathan. Now, I want to apply the story, though, to your life and give you two principles I think we can walk away with this story. To learn how an ordinary person, because Nathan, you're ordinary. I mean, not that you're not special, but I'm ordinary, too. We're just ordinary people. How many have ever really thought you're special? Don't raise your hand. No, because we get a little prideful, but listen, pride comes before the fall. So stay humble. I want us to learn that God can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So the first principle you need to know is this. And in fact, I talked about this in messages back in January, and here it is again. You do not have to fully understand or understand fully to obey immediately. So everybody say that with me. You do not have to understand fully to obey when? Immediately. When God calls you to do something, You do not have to understand every detail to obey immediately. Listen to verse 20, because here's what happens. Elijah puts that cloak around Elisha. And verse 20, here's what we read. Elisha left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I'll come to you." I want you to notice, he didn't even pray about it. Can you believe Pastor said, don't pray about it? Elisha didn't have to do a list of pros and cons. Is this good or bad? Should I stay behind the oxen or should I go? He didn't consult a counselor on it. All he thought was, God, I believe you're in this, and even though I don't understand the details, I'm going to obey immediately. And that's what Elisha did. By the way, I believe God sometimes is strategically vague in his direction in our life. You know why? Because you and I might not go all the way if we knew everything about it. Or we might get ahead of God and what he wants to do in his timing. Sometimes God just gives one word and that needs to be enough. In the Old Testament, when God called Moses, you can summarize everything that God called Moses to do. It was nothing more than, Moses, go. Moses is like, how am I going to deliver? Go. I'll be with you. Well, who are you? I am that I am. Go. He didn't know it. Abraham, do you remember Abraham? What was his instructions? Go. Where do you want me to go? Just go. And I think sometimes we're like, well, how do I know where I'm supposed to go? Just pack up your bags like Abraham and start. And then God will direct you. In the New Testament, we read a story about Jesus walking on the water. And Peter was like, in Matthew 14, 28, Peter was like, Lord, if it's you, when he saw him walking on the water, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus gave him one word in verse 29. Come. Just one word. And Peter had no idea how he's going to walk on water. He's in a boat. But he listened to the one word and acted upon it with immediate obedience. So principle number one, you don't have to understand fully to obey immediately. We just got to respond when God calls. Principle number two is this. God uses people who hold on to the least. Everybody say that with me. God uses people who hold on to the least. I believe God uses people who hold on to the things of this world very loosely. I want you to see what Elisha does in verse 21. So Elisha left him, went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. Church, this was his livelihood. And what does the Bible say he did with the oxen? Killed them, slaughtered them. What did he do with the plows? He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people and they ate. Church, basically he made a bonfire with the plowing equipment, cooked steaks for his buddies before he leaves. Think about it. Then he sets out, follows Elijah, and became his servant. Elisha's like, God's calling me to go. I'm to become a prophet like him. So what am I supposed to do? I think I'll take my plow, make an altar, sacrifice the animals, we'll eat it. And let me tell you what he was saying. He said, I am burning plan B. There will be no plan B. It's only obey God. There is only plan A. And plan A is to have incredible faith. I'm just going to have faith. I will have nothing to come back to. Elisha basically makes this altar, makes the sacrifice, and follows God because there's only one plan. Follow God. Now, I need to be honest with you today, though, because I don't know that my faith is here. If my kids came to me and said, somebody threw their coat on me and said, I'm going to follow God on this, I would probably say, hey, I'm proud of your faith and I want you to serve God, but hey, let's talk about this, right? Let's use our minds here. Let's discuss this. In fact, here's what I want you to go follow God, but let's keep the cows and the plows, right? You don't know when you might need them. That's what I'd be thinking. How many are kind of living? That's where I live. I'm still working on this. I'm growing in my faith, but I want to grow in my faith. Why? Because my kids are not mine. They're God's. You got to learn that lesson. When we surrender them, we surrender them. And they belong to the Lord. And what I need to learn from Scripture is that there are times when people are so moved by God that they will do unbelievable things to follow Him. And honestly, there's nothing wrong about that, but let me say this, just know it's God. Missionaries are called that way. We're sitting here with those who are called out of our body. Over here we have the Simnowitzes that are serving in Dearborn, called of God, and said, God, I'll go to one of the toughest areas. By the way, if you don't know, Dearborn is the largest population of Muslim faith in America. And thank God we have missionaries that are there, that are bringing the truth to them. But that's a call of God. You have to kind of burn the plows and say, God, we're there. We'll do what you called us to do. Let me take you to the New Testament for a moment. Do you remember when Jesus encountered Peter for the first time? In Luke chapter 5, Peter was having a bad fishing day. They were done for the day. They've cleaned their nets. And Jesus gets into Peter's boat and tells him, push away from the shore. He does, and Jesus teaches for a little bit. And here's what happened in chapter 5, verse 4 through 6. When he, speaking of Jesus, had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night, didn't catch a thing. Is that not usually our first thought? But listen what happens in his faith. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. Let me move on. Verse 7. A shout for help brought their partners in another boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. Listen to verse 11. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, it's a good story, but what I want you to notice is they didn't burn their nets and their boats. And after Jesus died, what did they do? They went back to plan B. But he appears to them and says, there's only plan A. Church, when we start following Jesus, though rough things may happen, don't forget plan A. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. There's only plan A with God. But they left everything. Now, I don't say this in doubt, but I say it with wisdom. When you're listening, just make sure you're hearing God when you respond. Amen? What I'm talking about is being people who are willing to really listen to God. If we're saying we're God followers, then we need to be God listeners. And then we need to be willing to do whatever He calls us to do or go wherever He calls us to go and do it without a plan B. I pray that you individually as well as this church, that God will give us plow-burning faith. so we can respond and be willing to do with whatever God is calling us to next. Some of you probably, though, are still holding on to things that keep you secure. How many grew up with a security blanket? Can you be honest? Or it was a stuffed animal. I had a stuffed animal. His name was Mr. Godfrey. It was a frog. I'll have to tell you about Mr. Godfrey one day. How many just felt like you had to have it at some point? Or you had to have the light on it in the room. Anybody? And some of you still go, yeah, that's me. Still. But when there's a come a time when you need to lay it down. There was a time that came that Mr. Godfrey did not need to be with me. I needed to know Mr. Godfrey is gone. He's not anywhere around. Well, I'll tell you why. He was stuffed with seed. And he got infected. Bugs got in there and started eating all the seeds. It was time for Mr. Godfrey to be gone. And if that's what it takes, God will do things like that in your life to say, you don't need it anymore. He says, I'm your security. For the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He becomes that security. In fact, you need to know this. To step into God's purpose, you have to step away from your security. It can't be yours. It's got to be Him. And I believe God will help us grow. But understand, the next step that God is calling you to, it may not be as drastic as plow burning. Not everything is plow burning. But there may be something you're needing to let go. And the reason God is telling you let it go is because He wants to do something greater in your life. But you've got to have the faith to be willing to do that. Pastor James, would you come? So number one, you do not have to understand fully to obey immediately. And number two, God uses people who hold on to the least. Heavenly Father, this morning I pause and I pray for a moment because I want you to build the faith of your church. I want you to do it corporately as a body, but Lord, I ask also individually. And Lord, that we as the people of God would recognize that you can do the impossible. But it is impossible to please you without faith. So Lord, we want to follow you and help us to hear your voice and respond in faith, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I close today, I have a couple of questions I want you to really contemplate. I put them on the screen because it's a little long and I really want you to think about it. But don't just quickly respond. I mean, in the sense, maybe your heart may leap, but I do want you to give it thought. And the first question is, how many of you who are followers of Christ want so much for God to stretch your faith that you're willing to leave things that you thought were important in your life? Secondly, and are willing to not let anything hold you back from living the perfect will of God for your life? It's a really deep question, to be honest with you. Because the perfect will of God means plan A all the time. All the time. That means when you're getting ready to leave, you've got to say, God, is there anybody I need to talk to? God, is there anything I need to resolve? In fact, He says, before you bring your worship and you've got something against somebody, you need to go deal with that. God's so serious about getting plan A right that you got to get other relationships right. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're holding on to. And maybe it's fear. Maybe it's the junk of this world. Maybe it's anger. At some point, church, if you want to grow in your faith, you've got to let it go. And just trust that God is working all things together for good for those who are called according to His purposes. And you're saying, well, I'm a God follower, but are you asking Him to stretch your faith? Are you happy with just the faith you began with? The faith that says, I believe Jesus. And that's, you've never gone any farther with your faith. I want to challenge you to step further in your faith, because I'm going to be asking us as a church to be more faith-filled in the days ahead. You're going to say, well, I don't, how are we going to do that? Last week when we got in that room, you know what one of the biggest things is, people were wondering, how's this going to happen? Right? So I try to demonstrate it up here, and here's how we're going to do it. We still get down there, and they're like, how do we do this? Don't worry about it. Because it only took us 20 minutes to do it because you just began to do it. Church, if you just think of it that way, but other, well, we, you know, it could have been other ways. There was probably 1,000 different ways to do it. And all of them would be great. But there was a plan laid out. All you got to do is follow the plan. And it worked. And we did it together. But our questions are, can you give me a few more details? I'm not going to be able to, some of those, I'm not going to be able to give it to you. I'm going to say, this is what God's put in my heart. This is what we're going to do. And we're going to do it by faith. And you're going to have that kind of faith. And you're going to go, well, I might lose a little sleep if I do that. Well, give it up. I don't know what it's going to cost. But souls are worth everything you have. That's why we do missions. So here's where I want your thinking, your contemplating. Here's what I want you to be able to say. How many of you can say this? I don't want anything to hold me back. And I want incredible faith to obey God. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to stand. Now listen, I want you to stand, but if that's not you, I'm going to respect and I'm going to say thank you for not standing, because you're being honest. And I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray that God will bring you to that place, but I don't want you to make a commitment that you're not willing to keep, because we've got to step forward. And you're saying, well, Pastor, wouldn't you want everybody to stand? I would, but if it's really not in you, why are you standing? Then you're faking. Don't fake. Be real. Because church, I want to be real with you, because I think God's got some great things for his church. But I need you to be one who's saying, I'm standing up because I don't want anything to hold me back. And I want incredible faith to obey God. That's what I want. And by the way, we're going to be building for these weeks. This is just a foundation to say, am I willing? Because what is God calling us to, we're going to talk about. But if that's you this morning, and you're willing to say, this is where I'm at, my walk, and I'm willing to walk with this church as we grow, then I'm asking you to stand with me today. You don't need to look at anybody else. If they didn't stand, it doesn't matter. You know what you're standing for. I want you to begin to prepare yourself for what God may speak to you. And I pray for us this morning as I pray. Father, I pray in the name of the Holy Spirit that you begin to work in us a deeper faith. Over these next few weeks, God, as we look into your word, I pray that we will see incredible faith. And I pray through the hearing of your word, our faith will be built up. God, help us who believe in who you are and believe that you want to use our lives. And Lord, when you call us, even if it's one word, I pray, Lord, we would obey immediately. And Lord, would you give us plow-burning faith? Lord, to let those things go that we need to let go. And God, give us faith even when we do not fully understand. Because God is plan A with you. And we're surrendering our lives to plan A. Put your mantle on us, Lord, today. And Lord, may we become your servants because we're following you. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives, I pray. And if you're in agreement with that, would you give it a hearty amen? Amen. You may be seated for a moment. There may be others today that you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I don't know if I'm good enough. After all I've done, there's no way God can forgive me. I want you to speak with clarity today. I want you to know God loves you and God will forgive you. But it starts with you by putting your faith in Him as your Savior. God loved you so much that He sent His one and only Son, and He became sin for us. But He was raised to life so that anyone who would put their faith in Him would be saved. And the very moment you call upon His name, you're saying, I put my faith in your word and what you did, your sins will be forgiven. You say, well, I don't know if I know enough to believe. All you have to do is start with a step of faith. God's word says it, you believe it. Scripture tells us we're not saved by works. We are saved by grace through faith. That's how we're saved. That's how all these that were standing are going to have to walk, by faith. And today you can start that walk with God by faith. With your heads bowed for a moment, if you're in this room today, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up if you need to accept Jesus as your Savior today and you're willing to take that step of faith. If you're in here today, just slip your hand up and you put it right back down, balcony or main floor. I'm looking around because I want us all to at least be on a faith level. Is there anyone? I'm not seeing any hands today. That's okay. Look at me for a moment. I pray if that is you and you have not made that step of faith today, I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit chases you all week long. And I'm telling you why, because He loves you and He has a purpose for you. And I don't want you to miss that purpose. I don't want you to just be a churchgoer. I want you to be a Jesus follower. And I want you to grow in your faith. So I'm praying. Now, praise God if every one of you have made that decision. But church, we have a call, and I said it earlier, I'm going to repeat it. We are now under the mantle of God. You have been covered and hid in Jesus Christ. He is your cloak. And He is the one that we follow and serve now. So church, I'm asking you to grow in your faith. Begin to ask God. Go back over these thoughts and say, God, can I have that plow-burning faith? God, can I trust you and work immediately? So here's what's going to happen. When you step out of here in just a moment, again, you may need to say, God, is there somebody I need to talk to? Lord, which direction do I need to go home? Lord, do I need to change where we're supposed to eat? Lord, what am I doing this afternoon? Did you, anybody of you had asked God what He wanted you to do this afternoon? Or did you already plan your ways? That's fine, but let the Lord direct your steps. That's what I'm talking about, listening. Just every moment saying, God, what do you want? God, what are you doing now? Was it yesterday morning or Friday morning with your boy? It was Thursday, I remember now. Their boy has swelling on the front of his brain, head, forehead. They concerned, took him, and this family's just been through so much, the Zamets, and I got word of it, and I just began to pray. It wasn't my prayer, I'm sure it was a lot of people got word, but I pray. I said, Lord, they've got enough, Lord. And then we got a report. It really was, at first, the first thing I got was it was not going to be good, the POTS thing. And I'm just like, Lord, I know you're good. And then it wasn't long after, it wasn't that long, and they came back, did another, I guess a CAT scan or something. They did a couple, came back and said, it's not that, it's just sinuses. And it was just causing a swelling right here. The fluid was collecting. And that ended up being it. Thank the Lord. But Max and Abby, Abby and Max, thank you You didn't freak out. You went to the body of Christ. And I'm sure there were moments, God, what's going on? Let's get honest. But you went to the body of Christ. And church, that's what we need to do. We need each other. And if something's going on in your life, don't be afraid to connect with us, call us. I'm telling you, there are people who pray, and the prayer of a faithful man, what? A righteous man availeth much. And I want to see God work in his body. So are you ready to be faith people? Okay. And we're going to work at it. We're going to grow. This is not something that you're going to go, well, it just happened, and it's not going to be done in 4 weeks. I'm just laying a foundation, and I'm going to begin to stretch you to believe that God could do more in your life than you ever thought. Amen? So the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace. So church, walk out of here and have a Jesus-filled week, because he's with you. Amen? God bless you.